Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Welcome back to Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on. It's a real pleasure, as always, to wrap up our show with a special guest. And this time I'm calling in with Becca Smith, based in Cleveland. Good morning, Becca.
Good morning. How are you, Zara?
Just terrific. Well, it's a real fun time to get a chance to talk about Becca's work, because it's such a different portfolio of things. You're involved in executive search all the way to writing and creative side. But I thought today's focus on the creative side would be of great interest to our listeners with the Bagsmith, right?
That's right.
All right, great. Well, let me share a brief synopsis here. Becca has a lifelong passionate interest. She's been a knitter who loves to work with great fibers. She juggles many roles as wife, mother, daughter, and business owner, being vice president of two family-owned businesses. That's Smith International Enterprises, an international trading company, and H.C. Smith, a retained executive search firm. Becca created the Bagsmith to supply unique and innovative products to over 800 independent yarn shops in the United States, Canada, the U.K., and France, and her patterns and designs are created in-house, and all products can be seen on their award-winning website, which is www.bagsmith.com, as well as bigstitchknitting.com. And Becca has been featured on PBS television, and her second book, The Complete Idiot's Guide to Knitting, will be released soon. Becca earned the bachelor's and master's of music education from Chicago Musical College and a master's of philosophy in teaching humanities at Roosevelt University, and she was founder and director of Masters in Interdisciplinary Arts at Columbia College in Chicago, and has served as director of education for the Cleveland Orchestra. And Becca and her husband Herb and Sugar Magnolia, her four-legged knitting and exercise companion, that's their black Labrador, they live in Cleveland, and Becca's interests include the visual and performing arts, travel, and enjoying life with the Smiths to adult children and grandchildren. So I loved your desire to name this segment A Stitch in Time, Becca.
You like that, huh?
I do indeed. Now, tell me the history of your having established this particular wing of the entrepreneur life you lead.
Right. Well, as you know, I wear several hats. Mm-hmm. And in travels to and from China over the years, I always had something in my bag to do on those very long flights. And over the time that I was out there working on behalf of clients here in the United States, I found lots of raw materials that really interested me. And we started putting together a whole range of knitting and crocheting projects that with materials that I found along the way. And then we started sourcing all kinds of materials here in the United States as well. I've been working with my hands all my life. Mm-hmm. I just find it so important. No matter what job I was doing as a regular kind of career job, I always had something going on the artistic side. And so this business was kind of an outgrowth of that. I learned how to knit from my mother and my grandmother. Even today, my mother is a key part of our activities at Bagsmith, as are a number of people from my family and certainly the staff. There's just a great feeling when you actually work with your hands. It frees your brain to do other kinds of thinking.
Isn't that true? Of course, my husband always tells me, though, instead of you straightening the closet, I really would rather you'd go resurface the driveway. So let's make sure it's a constructive thing. But I think you're right. There's certainly, for those of us that are taxed with other mental things during the day, there's nothing like raking leaves or shoveling snow and then being able to step back and say, wow. Or particular for those that are in the arts and crafts, to actually have a finished product that can be a gift or a keepsake in the process.
That's right. And, you know, when September 11th happened, I think as a country, all just sat there glued mm-hmm. to what was going on TV. And I saw a number of trends come out of that. And one of them was what happened in the yarn business, because all of a sudden, for probably the same reasons that it affected me, I just could not get enough stuff to really make things and give to people. I mean, there was this sense of you had to kind of connect with people in a very special way. And I remember sitting there, and, you know, we were all glued to TVs. There wasn't a whole lot of business going on at that point. And I couldn't sit there without doing something with my hands. And I made over 30 scarves, and I thought, you know, there's something going on here. And then we kind of put everything together with all the traveling and everything to put together this line of products to bring to market.
It's interesting, though, the entrepreneur that you are, is that also you had the ability to watch yourself from the outside in. You know what I'm saying? Is that you were, there was kind of this play going on that where you were one of the actors, but that yet you were also Shakespeare or the director, that you could spot that opportunity.
Well, you know, my husband and I have always watched doors open around us.
Yeah.
And walking through those doors has been part of the adventure that we've shared as a couple and also as business partners. And opportunity is something that sometimes people don't see, even though it may be right in front of them.
What I think is interesting, too, for those listeners that were with us in our previous half an hour, and I don't know if you had the chance to web stream in, Becca, but
I did.
Yeah, we had Lou Carter from the Best Practice Institute, and of course, his epiphany to start his company and this whole essence of community happened at the same time yours did.
Yeah, and you know, it was from in the yarn business. That was kind of the beginning of a huge influx of people who hadn't been involved with knitting for a long time, knitting or crocheting, or the needle arts in any way. So a lot of people kind of came back to it. And also, there was this huge influx of young people who wanted to learn the craft. And now there are such tremendous resources available. There's your local yarn shop. There are the big craft stores. The local yarn shops, of course, are the ones that really have very creative things going on. The best supply of yarns from all over the world, all over the country, local weavers and spinners and all kinds of people going into those shops. There's also online communities that are rich with all kinds of resources. There's Ravelry.com, which has over 500,000 members from all over the world, and they communicate with each other through different groups and forums. You can get questions answered. You can swap yarns. You can find out how to do different things. You can get patterns. And that's just one of many, many. There's another one called Knitty.com that is like an online resource where every month they change and put up new patterns and new blogs and all kinds of things. And then if you type in any specific skill that you're looking to learn how to do into Google, for instance, a whole range of videos come up.
Sure, exactly.
And so if you don't know how to do something, you don't have to run to a store or find someone that knows how to do it. You can just go to your computer.
Well, you were telling me on the line, of course, you wrote your first book, a couple years it's been now, right, on big stitch knitting, and that then the phone call came to you about, could you write a book for us? Tell us about that, to be selected or asked or approached to do the Complete Idiot's Guide.
Yeah, well, you know, we work with a wonderful marketing specialist whose name is Steve Corcoran, and he has a company that works with us quite often on our website, and he's always looking for opportunities. And a literary agent contacted him and said, do you know someone who can write a beginning book on knitting? Well, you know, there are tons of wonderful authors out there who have been writing books on knitting and crocheting. Many of them have very beautiful, complex things. I have always been very interested in getting people involved from the ground floor. So my Big Stitch Knitting book is very elementary in terms of how you get involved in working with big needles and multiple fibers and all of that. And the Complete Idiot's Guide to Knitting starts at the very beginning, and each chapter is organized in a way where you learn a skill and then you make something that includes that skill. and the editors at Penguin were terrific in their feedback of what I had done. And so the book really takes you through a whole range of knitting skills and competencies. So by the end, if you don't know how to do something on the real complex level, at least you understand it on the simple level and you can build from there.
Well, and also if you complement that with all the other resources you talked about that are out there. Now, this surge of business that happened, or the desire now for more products on the ground and you folks being so nicely poised, tell us about your suppliers and the partners you've used thus around the world to make this happen for the Backsmith.
Right. We've been very fortunate to sell our products overseas in Europe, and we've sourced products, of course, in Asia. But on one of our trips where we were selling our products at a big show in Paris, just outside of Paris, we met a woman whose name is Frédéric Christambier, who had started a company that was actually reviving an old company called Saju. And this is a line of haberdashery items for people who do needle arts. They cross-stitch, embroidery, and just a whole range of things. And her products are based on the original haberdashery items that were created by Jacques Saju back in the 1800s. And she has done a magnificent job of honoring his work and then adding her ideas to the same kind of products. So we are the North American distributors for Saju, and service all kinds of wonderful shops around the country and in Canada. And that allows us to hit a different market than the knitting and crocheting market, because the people who do cross-stitch and embroidery tend to work very small.
Sure, exactly.
And, and have a different aesthetic about it. So the people at Saju have just been terrific to work with.
So your customers now, you also sell your products, so you sell it to distributors, to shops, also over the web, so you're kind of hitting all the different channels, is that correct?
Yes, and we also go to shows. There are large consumer shows for knitting and crocheting that take place all around the country. Last month we were out at Stitches West, and they had about 12,000 people through the marketplace in Santa Clara. Coming up, we will be in Stitches South in Atlanta. We'll be at Midwest in Schaumburg, Illinois, and then we'll do the East Coast show for that particular group of shows in Hartford, Connecticut. And our booth is always a place where people can come and try things. It's not where you just walk in and buy something. You can try out needles. You can try out hooks. We'll teach you how to do Tunisian crochet, for instance, some simple stitches for Tunisian crochet, which is one of the newest interests of people who work with fiber. It's a very old technique, but it's new to many, many people. It's kind of going through a revival. So we try and make our booth a very hands-on place. And we also bring along our Saju products to introduce them to that market as well.
Have you seen the customers thus changing over time and the attendance at the trade shows and the like?
Yes, we have. It's growing. It's really growing. And we were very excited about our experience out in California. We've done these shows for about 4 years, and we've learned a lot about what we should take to the shows, because at first you're never quite sure which products you're going to pack in a van and take. I think we've gotten smarter, but I think people are very, very curious about finding that new and unusual thing that, you know, may not be at their local yarn shop, or learning a new technique, or picking up some new patterns of things they've never seen before.
Yeah, that's interesting. Becca, when did it occur to you that you were in the process of shifting your hobby and avocation into such a viable business?
Oh, you know, We came up with this line of purse kits back in about 2002, 2003, and we went to a wholesale show, one of the big two. There are two big wholesale shows every year sponsored by the National Needlework Association. And we went down to Columbus, Ohio, where the big one is, and walked through the hall and didn't see anything that was remotely the same as what our idea was. So we thought, you know what, we'll go for it. We'll go to the next show. And we did, introducing only 7 products, these kits, along with a stand, that a canvas stand that allows you to put your work in it, and it can sit right next to you. And we were absolutely blown away by the response. And so we started with 7 products, and now we, you know, if you take a look at what's on our website, the new things that we've created over the past 8 years, as well as the things that we're importing, we're now in the hundreds of products.
Wow, exactly.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. And tell us about the team, then, that's at the Bagsmith.
Well, key to everything are the members of my family, Herb, my mother, Jean, my son, E.B., who did all of the photography for the upcoming book, The Complete Idiot's Guide to Knitting, Jeanette Higgins, who crochets and manages much of the operation. One of our newest products is a yarn that we've developed with the cooperation of a mini mill in Sugar Creek, Ohio. And this mini mill spins for us an alpaca yarn where we have worked with local alpaca growers. We've been collecting fiber. We take it down to the mill. And this particular yarn is for use with the hooks and the needles that we make, these very large hooks and needles.
That's great. So you've been able to, you're introducing then an entire system that you can offer your clients then.
That's right. And so Jeanette organizes all the communication with the alpaca breeders and the mill and lots of other things going on. We have a wonderful woman who takes care of everything in the warehouse. And that's really complicated because you have to know where all these little pieces are from Saju as well as all the Bagsmith products. And then there's a whole range of other people who we collaborate with along the way. My favorite local yarn shop is a place called Fine Points. And Liz Tikas is the owner of Fine Points. And she and I communicate on a regular basis, both as business owners and as people who are interested in the craft. There's a friend, a wonderful friend named Susan Thompson, who actually helped knit many of the pieces in the book. There's just a whole range of people who are involved in this in one way or another. There's a woman who used to work for us, who went on to other things, who served as the hand model for all of the photographs in the book because we needed someone to demonstrate. So,
Rebecca, you think about all these different facets you've kind of explored and doors that continue to open, as you just said. Do you think there was an innate sense of a set of skills that you've always had and carried with you? Were there other business experiences that prepared you to step in and do this? Or are you, in some ways, just kind of living it on the fly?
No, I think it really stems from watching my dad.
Ah.
He was very creative. He had a scrap metal business, and he distinguished his business by coming up with new ideas and ways of reclaiming scrap metals on the non-ferrous side. And watching him and his work ethic was really an inspiration.
It is, but at the same time, you've obviously then taken upon yourself with your team to always look for these areas to innovate.
Yes.
That's nothing is standing still.
Nothing is ever standing still, because if you don't bring out new products at every single show you go to, be it wholesale or retail, people won't be interested. They're always looking for something new.
You know, the one thing that struck me, I learned too, you had mentioned at the onset that you learned to knit at age 9 from your mom and your grandmother. My grandmother taught me to crochet and knit as well. And the fact that the younger generation now is sweeping into this area, do you think that's kind of this one of these generational skip things where there's that, again, that connectedness with a sense of community?
I do. And, you know, I think people are learning to knit, you know, both from their grandmothers or their mothers, but they're also learning to knit from each other. And that person may be sitting next to you or maybe somewhere across the country on a video. I think the opportunity to learn these skills is so much broader than it used to be. And I, you know, I'm so excited when I see a lot of grassroots things going on. For instance, there was a recent article in the paper about someone in an East Coast city who's going around and knitting and crocheting dresses for trees, you know, and in the middle of the night, and all of a sudden people walk out the next morning and there's this tree that's got a cloth around it that's been handmade. And so there are the kind of guerrilla tactics going on that help to bring some excitement about the craft. It's very, very fun.
Well, the big stitch knitting, now that is that taken from one given culture that's brought it into across others?
No, we were doing a show in London, and we met this wonderful fiber artist named Rachel John. And she had created a set of tools to work big. And these tools, for anybody who's listening who knows about knitting needles, these are size 50 knitting needles. And so you use them with either very, very thick yarn or multiple fibers where you're combining a number of yarns together to create things. She makes rugs. She makes incredibly beautiful rugs. You can find her just by Googling her on the web. Rachel John is her name. And she actually went into the Guinness Book of World Records by creating tools where she could knit 1,000 strands at a time.
Oh, my goodness.
And again, this is a video that's available on the web. It's really beautiful.
That's great. Well, again, we're going to come to a quick close here. My guest has been Becca Smith from thebagsmith.com and also bigstitchknitting.com. Now, your book, Complete Idiot's Guide to Knitting, is there a release date coming up with us?
September 2010.
There, you're great. And that's going to be in time for one of the shows you mentioned?
It'll be in time for a number of shows, but it'll also be in time for people who want to put their hands on fiber and needles and make things for the holidays.
Exactly. That's very good. Well, Becca Smith from The Bag Smith in Cleveland, thank you so much for joining us, and we're going to look forward to watching the trends and changes.
Oh, it's been a great pleasure. Thank you so much.
You bet. Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.